Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Jesus said early on in his ministry, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He also said, "Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." What does it mean, suffer little children? What was Jesus saying? The word suffer has various connotations. The word as used here is not implying suffering or hardship, but quite the opposite. Jesus was saying, allow or permit the little children to come unto me, because Jesus Christ is a wonderful solace to their souls, just as he is a comforter to all the souls of them that come unto him. The King James Bible uses many elegant expressions that may appear archaic to our common everyday vernacular, but understand this. As a civilization becomes depraved, so does its language. America doesn't need new versions of the Bible, but a return to holiness and restored literacy. So, Indiana, as you awake from your beds this beautiful morning that the Lord has made, rejoice in it and know you have a glorious comforter to bring peace and rest to your soul in the midst of this volatile world. But the question is, who in reality is that comforter, since Jesus is not physically present in the world today, but sits at the right hand of the Heavenly Father? Jesus told his disciples, as recorded in the Gospel according to John, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Jesus has not left the world comfortless, but has brought us abundant hope and peace if only we put our trust in him and in his words. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Godhead, and he will confirm all that Jesus said is of absolute truth. He brings the Bible to life. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is determined by one principle alone, the total loss of self. Selflessness is the source of all virtue in man. In the same way, selfishness is the source of all sin in man. Whatsoever is done out of oneself will be burned up at the day of judgment. What is done out of obedience to the will of God remains. At the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord will not ask how good your work is. He will only ask who does the work, his spirit or your flesh. The Apostle Paul said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. These are not my words, but the words of the Holy Ghost. Take heed that no man deceive you, and hear what the Spirit saith." May this sermon series, The Messenger, bring you hope and comfort this day. Again, remember, each Sunday here on Freedom 95, a new segment of each of my sermons, about 26 minutes worth, are played with a short overlap of the previous week, to refresh your memory about the prior week's message. The topic of the Holy Spirit is immense, and I pray the Holy Spirit will draw you to listen this morning. The Messenger, Part 8.
So we have a dove, you have oil, you have fire, you have wind, are all the emblems of the Holy Spirit that represent the Holy Spirit in Scripture. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, they weren't speaking in some gibberish language from outer space, okay? They weren't speaking to aliens. They weren't speaking to Martians, okay? They were speaking foreign tongues, foreign languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Remember, the Jews were scattered, so they came back from foreign nations for these feast days and for trade. And they had all different languages. Not everybody spoke Jewish language, which was what language? The Hebrew language. They didn't speak the Hebrew language. And some didn't even speak the Greek language, which was the common Roman language at that time. It was the international Mecca of that day and age, Jerusalem. And so you had people there with all different languages. This is how the Holy Spirit, this is how God got the gospel message out. He allowed his men early on to be able to speak and utter the gospel in different languages. Or he allowed somebody to speak the gospel and allowed somebody who spoke a different language to be able to hear coming out of that man's mouth the gospel message in his own language. That's how the gospel spread so quickly. And that was the miracle of God. That was the miracle of the Holy Spirit. The gospel, the gift of tongues, Bible tells us there's going to be a time that it would cease. Just like healing. Okay? The type of healing that Jesus did, the type of healing that the apostles did, the resurrection of bodies, a dead body. The apostles had that ability. That was to further the gospel. So resurrecting the dead, we have in the book of Acts, you have Paul. He was speaking in an assembly, and there was a man high up in a loft, and he fell asleep. Paul's preaching. Don't fall asleep, okay, in my preaching. But they fell asleep in Paul's preaching. But Paul just went on and on and on. I could see you falling asleep after 2 hours of my preaching. But he fell and he died. And Paul laid upon him and he revived and came back to life. He was filled with breath again and he revived. And so there were miracles of right after the book of Acts. The lame man who sat by the gate called Beautiful at the temple, and he was carried there every day. He couldn't walk. And Peter said, you know, he was a beggar and he was asking for alms. And Peter said, we have no gold or silver to give you, but what we have we'll give you. Rise up and walk in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was healed immediately. Okay, now that kind of healing doesn't take place today in most circumstances. We pray for people, we pray for healing. Bob has done it, others have in this room here have done it, gone to the hospitals. I have done it a zillion times. You pray with people in the hospitals, nursing homes, at home, or sick. We pray for, you know, if you go for surgery, pray for their healing, pray for their wellness, pray that they get better. And so, yes, we do pray. There is that gift of healing. But we can't today, I can't just say, rise up and walk to somebody who's lame, who's not able to do that. I can't tell a Vietnam veteran or a veteran of the armed forces who lost his legs and that, you know, your legs will grow back. Though there are false teachers out there saying they can do that. And they can do this kind of healing. And they go, you'll hear some of these TV evangelists saying, oh, well, we went to India or Pakistan and we had services. And all these bodies just rose up and from the grave. And we had resurrection, people resurrecting from the grave. No, don't believe that for one iota. That is fake religion, fake preachers. It's not real. They're fraud. And so, but here the Spirit was powerful. The Spirit of God was moving. And God wanted to spread the gospel fast, so he allowed all these people to hear it in different languages, and that was called the gift of tongues. Verse 5, chapter 2, verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And there were Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus, in Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And so that was a miracle. That was a powerful miracle. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Okay. And Peter, here's where Peter gets the boldness like never before. And he says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in that last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord comes. Now, Peter quoted all of Joel there, but not all those events took place right now. Some of these events that Joel prophesied are at the second coming of Christ. And when Christ comes back again and he establishes his kingdom, then the Spirit of God will be upon all flesh. But this was a type of that prophecy, a partial fulfillment of that prophecy by Joel, as Peter preached here. And verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Here Peter is quoting David, and he says, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the way of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with his oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit, God's anointed Christ, that's what Christ means, anointed, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. He was not affected by the fires of hell. He was not he did not stay in paradise in the center of the earth. But it was not David. David was prophesying of the Messiah that would come. David is not sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's not in heaven. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. He's telling those people, what you see now is the God pouring out the Holy Spirit, baptizing us with the Holy Spirit, and shedding the Spirit of God among men. And so there's a great stir in Jerusalem at this time. It says, verse 34, for David is not ascended unto the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ, the Messiah, and he is Lord. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other signs, other words, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That's what we're preaching today. Save yourselves from this perverse generation. That's what untoward means in your Bible there. Save yourselves from this perverse generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. This is water baptism. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Major revival. I haven't seen that with my eyes ever. That many souls come to Christ in one sitting. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church. Notice it wasn't Peter that added to the church. It was the Lord that added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. Some people will say, well, this is the birth of the New Testament church. No, the church was birthed by Christ. His disciples was the birth of the church. He was the rock that his church was founded upon. But this is when the church got power, the Holy Spirit power and boldness to proclaim the gospel, that because Christ, who was their original comforter, he ascended up into heaven, and now they needed another comforter, which was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brought them this comfort, and he gave them this dunamis power. Dunamis is the Greek word that word power comes from. That's where we get the word dynamite. Power, energy, motivation, right? You all have motivation. There's things in your life that motivate you to do, right? Your job. You have a drive to do something in your life, some career path, some kind of working with your hands or your mind. You have that motivation, right? But in the application here, now that's just a job. That's just a career. That's just something in your being that you like to do. You chose your career path because you liked it. You were good at it. It suited your aptitude. But here, with the Holy Spirit, This is a power from above that gives you a motivation to do, to live, to walk, to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Gives the church power to be a witness, to persuade the congregation to follow the Word of God, to persuade lost people to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so we'll see more about the Holy Spirit. I don't want to give it all away right now, but there is so much information about the Holy Spirit as we go through these passages that we'll see just this great working and power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we need to ask the Lord to fill us with the Holy Spirit. There is a distinctly different aspect of being filled with the Holy Spirit versus being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit is a one-time event. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is an event that can occur over and over and over and over again in an individual. It tells us here in Luke chapter 1, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, this is while they were both pregnant, Elizabeth with John the Baptist, Mary with Jesus, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And so there was a filling. She was filled with the Holy Ghost. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the temple of the body. In the Old Testament, in the old tabernacle, in the temple, they were filled with the Shekinah glory. Okay, there's a term, a word called the Shekinah glory, the indwelling of the Spirit of God in the Holy of Holies. So the Old Testament tabernacle, what was the tabernacle and what was the temple? What's the difference between the two? Tabernacle was a tent that had to be set up and torn down, set up and torn down, set up and torn down as the Israelites moved around in the wilderness. And when they settled in the land, they had the tabernacle set up in different places. But the temple was a permanent place of worship, built of rock, built of stone blocks, huge blocks, in Jerusalem on Mount Zion. So we read here in Exodus chapter 40, verse 34, 35, and 38. When a cloud covered the tent of the congregation and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord, there's a key word there. You got a pen, circle it. Filled the tabernacle. Filled the tabernacle, for the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day. And there's that word fire. There's an emblem of the Holy Spirit. And fire was on it by night and in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.